Well, Holly, let's get in the program and discuss, as we're getting itching closer, now some of the places you are already in the garden, but many of the northern areas are still waiting and have significant snow covering. But what can we plant first as soon as the soil can be worked? We see this on the package on many items.
Well, I just want to let people keep in mind that, you know, you might have had, depending on where you are, you might have had a few days now where it was very springy, and it's what we call like fall spring or fool's spring, depending on where you live. Now, if you live in an area that you know that you could, in the past, get those things into the ground, certain things in the ground at this point, that's fine. But sometimes, like here, beginning of March, sometimes it'll be upwards to 50, 60 degrees mid-March, whatever, but then...
And when we say right here, we're not going to hide our location. We are broadcasting out of the Milwaukee area, and we have stations...
Wisconsin. Yeah.
We have stations in southern Colorado, all the way to central Missouri, all the way up to Boston, and in the Dakotas. So we are all over the place. So we want to make that aware of that...
So
it's not hidden from you.
Some people will do that. Right. So what I'm saying is that don't let the fool spring or the fall spring.
Look ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, so.
Because we've had February days when it's been 80 degrees.
Yeah. Yes.
And then the week later it was 25 and snow.
Right. So.
The peas don't like that.
No. So just keep in mind, if you know like kind of the trends or whatever, keep that in mind. So peas are a good cool weather crop. And we usually have success with them. Some of the stuff you can plant these things in the fall too, but
yes.
Peas seem to be only successful for us in the spring.
Now, with all of these, and there's many more, we don't have time to cover everything. There is a certain what is called, Holly, a minimal soil temperature that these plants have to be at before they will germinate and they will sustain growth. Just because it's currently 45 degrees in the soil at root zone. Tested with a meat thermometer, digital meat thermometer. And it doesn't mean, you know, you look at long range forecast. If the nights and everything are above that, you're good. But if you got a lot of fluctuation, hold off.
Right. So then we also have radishes. And radishes are fun because they only take about 30 days to grow.
Right.
So if you have kids or if yourself, you're impatient, grow some radishes because they don't take long.
If you got a lot of radish seed, just go out there right now where the snow's at and just throw them in the garden. And a good chunk of them will root and take when it's time for them.
Then we have lettuce and then spinach. So you have some greens. And then same thing with kale and any sort of brassica.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. You do want to make sure that the soil temp is going to stay consistently to about 40 degrees. I mean, obviously you can fudge that a little bit, but 40 degrees is good. And then rutabaga.
Rutabaga and turnips, we find best success in the fall. Around the August time we plant them. Rutabagas take 90 days, turnips take 60 days. We've only had success one time with rutabagas in the spring, and every other year they've gone to seed and bolt, and they like the shorter days, longer nights, and cooler temperatures. And in the spring, it's the opposite of that. You don't get that. You get the shorter nights, longer days, and warmer. So,
right. So, yeah, rutabaga, turnips, and... We, like you said, we've had success with those in the fall.
Cilantro is one that people will wants to grow, loves to grow, can't grow because it's a very sensitive crop. Now, what we have found is you can grow it indoors year-round. How? Well, you can go to our parent website and type in the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and type in cilantro year-round, and you'll find it, but I'll explain it for those who don't want to venture there. You take party cups, and you get a whole bag of cilantro seeds, and you plant very thickly in those red solo cups, and then you succession plant. Every week you start a new cup, and over the course of 4 weeks, you've got cilantro that you put in your south-facing window that you can use, and you can get, well, we've gotten about two cuttings per round or per cup, and it's a very cheap, effective, efficient way to grow cilantro indoors year-round when it can be challenging to grow it outside at any point of the year. And it's a lot cheaper to grow it indoors by getting a bunch of seeds and then going that route than trying to buy the little fregs of or the little spears of cilantro at the store for not cheap.
Absolutely. And so then kale is something that you can definitely start in the spring and grow.
Now, whenever you've told the story last week and several times on the program, Holly, where and when it was time to plant tomatoes and peppers and eggplants, it was warm, you just walked in the garden, threw your seeds in the ground, you didn't start anything. Was this also, or did you growing up do the brassicas, the Brussels sprouts? You didn't do any of the cool weather crops like we're talking about where you just throw the seed right in the ground?
We did peas.
Okay. Which that's a traditional.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did peas, zucchini, tomatoes, maybe some carrots.
But nothing that.
Peppers.
In this instance, in the brassicas, like we start a lot of brassicas indoors and then transplant them out. None of that. You didn't grow brassicas at all.
You got your cabbage from the grocery store.
Okay.
I don't think we ate a lot of cabbage. But yeah. No, we did the. The warm weather crops, the traditional summer crops, except for the peas, like I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with all of these, now the peas on all what we've listed, the peas are the only thing that really would need a trellis or a structure. Peas are very weak stemmed, and you don't have to go and get some elaborate structure in order for them to grow up. You can take limbs that have fallen out of your tree, stick them in the ground, as long as they have something to support themselves on, they can grow up it. Radishes, and you can intercrop radishes with lettuce, and that will allow the leaf miner to eat the leaves of the radish, and most cases leave the spinach leaves alone. So you're kind of, you're only going to eat the root of the radish, but you want to eat the leaves of the spinach. So that if you do that and you have problems with leaf miners, which is a insect that incorporates itself into the leaf, the layers of the leaf, and eats kind of tunnels, and then you've got a green leaf with a bunch of brown or gray lines, which is not very appetizing in that instant. So you can do that. Now, you don't we soak pea seeds, but if you're looking at spinach, radishes, lettuces, those seeds are so tiny that when you soak them, it's just you're fighting a losing battle. They're so tiny.
One thing I want to mention is a lot of people get confused about peas because they want like the really sweet peas.
Uh-huh.
So if it says sweet pea on the package somewhere, that means you're going to get that sweet pea. Not that the other peas aren't going to be sweet. They're just not going to be as sweet. So that's something to keep in mind. A snow pea, I believe, is just like a regular pea. But if it says sweet, sugar, something like that, that's the type of pea that is guaranteed to be that sweet pea.
Right. There's three different types of peas, each suited for different types of eating things. There's snap peas, snow peas, and shelling peas. So, and then now, for the fun of that, instead of just having green pod peas, there's purple pod peas, and there's golden pod peas or a yellow pod pea in there. But yeah, there's your eating peas, your snap peas, your snow peas, your shelling peas. And the shelling peas, you may think, oh, I'll just eat the shell of it. It's awful tough.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
Or maybe a question that we might get is that, how lettuce and spinach and radishes, pretty much all these, except for kale, they will bolt. They will put on their sprouts to seed to
correct
reproduce, essentially.
Right.
Say that you don't have enough time to necessarily, because that usually happens around the summer.
Equinox.
Not the equinox, the summer solstice.
Yeah, solstice, yeah.
Yeah. So say you don't think you have enough time to get them to grow and produce in that time. Maybe you've had a late spring where it was very, like you weren't able to get them in too cold. What would you recommend?
For the peas, go ahead and put them in the ground as soon as you can. They'll be fine. They'll fight. They'll tolerate it. Radishes, 30 days. You're not going to have an issue with that. Lettuce, spinach, both take about 45 to 60 days. If you are in that jam, you can use Rootmaker grow bags and start them now if you can outside. And on the really cold nights, bring them inside so you have something there to do. But these are all very hardy plants. And they're just not hardy to 25 or 20 or negative 4. So does that answer your question to some
degree?
I mean,
yeah, I know the answer. I was asking
as a general
question, because some people might not
containers,
know.
Containers. Right. If you really are concerned that you're not
and or
plant them in a partial shade area of the garden to trick them to think the days are shorter than what they truly are.
That's smart too.
Well, we don't want to trick you at all by just letting you buy and prepare your food without giving you the option of getting the best that you can. And Walton's Incorporated has that.
Yeah, absolutely. We are brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. We know you care about where your food comes from. Canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables is great. But what about the meat? At Walton's, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, any other meat product your way to your high standards. You can go to meatgistics.com to help educate yourself on the hows and whys of why meat processing, as well as a community of almost 15,000 users who will help give their opinion and guidance on meat processing issues. If you go to waltonsinc.com, you can find everything from grinders to spices, sausage stuffers, mixers, etc. to go from animal to edible. Walton's is everything but the meat. You can use code GROW50 to save 10% off orders of $50 or more.
And they had those digital thermometers so you can test the soil. They want you to use it for meat, but you can use it for soil.
Dual purpose. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.